All right. Hi, I'm Jill. I'm a compulsive overeater and food addict in recovery. And I'd like to start with the third step prayer, kind of just get ready to speak. I wasn't planning on speak. It was kind of a last minute invitation, but God has supplied me with something to witness to. So I'm happy to see what comes out. But if you want to join me, you can. God, I offer myself to thee to build with me and to do with me as thou wilt. Relieve me of the bondage of self that I may better do thy will. Take away my difficulties that victory over them may bear witness to those I would help of thy power, thy love, and thy way of life. May I do your will always. I remember just being so incapable of memorizing that prayer for the first few years in program. I came to Overeaters Anonymous in 2004. It was Memorial Day. I was considered a young person when I came. I don't think I'm considered a young person anymore, but at 27, I came into these rooms and I had applied a lot of self-will to my problem of compulsive overeating. I was a compulsive overeater as a child, and I was a chubby little girl, and then really an obese teenager and young adult. I was over 100 pounds heavier than I am now, most of my adult life. My yo-yo did have a long string because when I was about 17 years old, I realized, I had some power to diet. My first official diet, I was 12. And I guess it started then, but really big time, the exercise bulimia and obsessive calorie counting and all that started when I was 17. So for those 10 years between 17 and 27, I was mainly 100 pounds overweight, but I actually did lose 50, gain 30, lose 60, gain. My yo-yo had a long string, and I had an uncle. I grew up in Massachusetts, and when I'd come home from college, he'd always have a comment and say, getting skinny, getting fat. And first thing he'd say when he'd see me. And I think it was probably the first thing people thought when they saw me, because most people don't dramatically change in 3 or 4 months. Yet there were some years when I really did dramatically change. I could be at a low weight of maybe a size 12, 14. And then a high weight of like, an 18, 20, and up and down I went. I love pictures, especially on Zoom. I have trouble paying attention on Zoom. So I'll try to keep you awake and engaged. But here are some pictures. The me on the left, that's me in college. I think that's my junior year in college. And I kind of joke, but it's not very funny, but I feel like I make the horse look a little slim, That white lean horse, and there I am. And then this is me with my honey. I guess that's a year and a half ago. And there's some other pictures. I'll go back. But these are the childhood photos. There I am as a little girl. There I am holding the puppy. That's me at I think I was about 14 there with the puppy. This is me at one of my lower, this is my young adulthood. I'm going up, I'm going down. That was about the smallest I was prior to OA, which is still probably about 30 pounds heavier than I am now. And then this is me going up in weight after I fell in love with my boyfriend who became my husband. And there I am hiding half my body behind someone else in a picture. That was a little strategy I had because I didn't like taking pictures. I didn't like getting dressed up to go out. And seeing pictures of myself was painful. So whenever I could, I hid behind people, animals, found something to hide behind. And this is me in 2008. I came to Overeaters Anonymous in 2004. I received the gift of abstinence March 15th, 2008. So I had a few years of being very confused about what my food plan. I was very confused about what my food plan should be, and I tried intuitive eating, and so I ended up having some days of freedom with slips, you know, every few days. And then I had a full-blown relapse in program. And I'm one of those relapse survivors. And I, you know, and after, honestly, after a very long, like 1.5 years of relapse where I was actually going to meetings, I got struck abstinent. I've been abstinent since March 15th, 2008. So I have a real witness to people like, that don't leave until the miracle happens. Because I really didn't get the gift of abstinence for a little over 4 years coming to program. These are older pictures, but yeah, my boys, this is only 2 years ago, but now they're so much, oh my gosh, they're like almost 6'2". They're much bigger. They grew a lot in 2 years, but yeah, so those are my pictures. So I guess what happened? I heard about Overeaters Anonymous. I don't know when I did. I remember I was a music therapist working many places, but I was at an outpatient psychiatric center doing music therapy groups. And I saw the 12 steps for another program for the first time. And I remember seeing them and think, because I'd heard of OA, I knew I was a food addict. I mean, I knew that. I did. But when I saw the steps, I saw like God written all over them. I really, truly said to myself, ah, and I thought this could help me. Because I was not really warm about the idea of anything related to God or someone telling me I needed to find God. And I just had kind of a bad experience in the past where I just kind of just shut the door on the God thing because it was too small a hoop to jump through. So I didn't go to OA when I first heard about it or after I saw the steps. It was really, I remember my husband sitting in our apartment and he said to me, you know, down the beach, there's a meeting at 8:30 in the morning called Overeaters Anonymous. And he gave me the number and I called and I talked to the person. She had told me she lost 80 pounds. I heard her, but I didn't go to that meeting. I did not run down the next Saturday. It was really another several months before I was desperate enough to go. I think I had gained about 80 pounds in about a year. I had gone through a lot of transitions and I had lost my ability to diet because prior to OA, I was always on the pendulum, you know, out of control, crazy binging. Then I'd make my way to the restrictor, you know, exercise bulimia, which was actually more of a mental obsession than just mindlessly eating. It was worse. I was in a worse spiritual state in those smaller bodies, consumed, literally consumed with obsession, trying to quell those horrible cravings. And inevitably, when I was in those diet phases, I would have just a little bit, but then I couldn't stop. I'd make sure I ate enough to make myself throw up. So there was actual, you know, binging and purging happening as part of my obsessive dieting. But what happened at this point, I kept thinking I was going to swing back to that crazy obsessive dieting and bulimia, but I'd lost my ability to diet. I literally lost my ability to diet. And I was really starting to feel desperate. And so I remember my husband and I were at the dog park and it was the day of my first meeting and I was crying and he was like, how bad is this? And you know what I said? I said, just take out more life insurance. Because doctors have been talking to me about my cholesterol since I was 17 years old. I had high cholesterol. My mother's history is terrible with heart disease. I think my cholesterol was like 245. My blood pressure was high. I was 100 pounds overweight. I was having lots of infections. I was depressed. I was anxious. I had rashes. I mean, I really, really, never mind what that did to my hormones and menstrual cycles. And I was newly married and wanting to have children. But how was that going to work? And little did I know that that statement was so step one. What a beautiful way to start program. Just take out more life insurance. But the room I stepped into had a lot of people in it. It was not very, there wasn't a lot of abstinent people in there. And there was a lot of people with intuitive abstinence, a lot of slipping, a lot of sliding. There really wasn't examples of back-to-back abstinence. But I did get a sponsor and I started my journey. And I can see now that everything was unfolding you know, that the story was being written. And it's amazing how much sanity is in just one day at a time. Like, seriously, that's, you know, we say it all the time. That was like earth shattering, like one day at a time, like one. Because really my whole life at once was all I could think of. And I was so plagued by this idea, if I could just knew the right thing to say, if I just did the right thing, if I were just better, then everyone around me would be okay. Everything would be okay if I could only be better. And that attitude of self-reliance was just killing me. So where am I today? So after all these years of working the steps, you know, it's taken me, well, you know, the central fact of my life today is that God is working in my life in a way that's indeed miraculous. And, you know, having had a spiritual awakening, I serve. Every chance I get, I serve. I mean, the whole purpose of this program is, you know, to point the way to the power and way of life that we've found through the 12 steps and our higher powers. So the primary purpose is to carry the message. And so I actually met people here doing service. That's why I'm not in New Jersey, but I met them in Albuquerque and at Region 7 events because I really take seriously this call to carry the message. You know, so the harvest is plenty, but the workers are few, and that people are dying all around us. That is so true. I not only take sponsees and call newcomers and help to serve our local meeting by showing up, opening the door, setting up chairs. We're a hybrid meeting, but one of the best ways you can serve a meeting is by serve away is by going to meetings, having a home meeting and serving there. And I have that mindset. I go for me because I need this program, but I also go because I'm called to carry the message. I serve on the inner group. I'm working and doing vice chair, and I also do outreach. And that brings me into really awesome relationships with other people as we work together to carry the message. But there's the sufficient substitute for our disease, it says, is the fellowship. I mean, there is a call. And, you know, it's not a sense of to do or duty that drives me to do, or I have to, or drudgery. There really is a love. There's a love for people and a love for God that fuels my desire to be in this program and work this program. And I can feel love for people that I don't even know. And it's so funny, when I saw different pictures and I saw different names come out, I was like, oh, just because I love people so quickly in this program, I can't even understand it. But I think that really is supernatural. I think it's a fruit of the spirit. And it's a very powerful motivator, much more powerful than fear. Perfect love drives out fear, you know? And I mean, it's not a fear-based program. It's a love-based program. It's a grace program. It's a power coming from outside of myself. That's the kind of program. This program has given me so much delight, true delight and true hope. I didn't even mention that I'm dealing with cancer, that it's not going in remission. But I have a joy you can't just snuff out. And I have a hope. I just said that casually. But honest to goodness, I'm abstinent today. I seek my higher power. I trust him more than ever. I'm waiting on a cancer marker result coming this week. I've got scans coming, but I trust God. And I didn't even know God and didn't want to get to know God when I was desperate in my disease. So this is a program that's so much more than about healthy body weights or food plans, or it's a spiritual program, and it connects me to abundant life. And my addiction sends me into a death spiral and to misery. So I'm really grateful, and I don't have tons of time, but I'd love to hear your shares. My number's up. And that went by fast. I hope you get something out of it. Thanks for letting me share.